The following recording is copyright 2011, Diocese of Little Rock, all rights reserved. For more information, visit www.dolr.org.
In the gospel you just heard, Peter and the other disciples want to know what reward they will get for having left everything to follow Jesus. And Jesus answers that they will sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. They will be repaid 100 more times for everything they ever gave up for the sake of the kingdom. Houses, brothers, sisters, mother, father, children, and lands. And third, they will inherit eternal life. But of course, we will soon see that despite Peter's words, they really haven't left everything yet. True, they're now following Jesus, but not yet with their whole mind, heart, and soul. And so they haven't yet given up fully the false gods of this world. That is the pursuit of power, pleasure, possessions, and prestige. Very soon we're going to hear James and John wanting to sit in a position of power at Jesus' right and left when he comes into his kingdom. I guess it's not enough to be on one of those 12 thrones. They want to be right there on the right or the left. And we'll soon see Judas stealing from the common purse. And we'll soon see all the apostles but John bailing out when Jesus is arrested. They haven't given up their lives yet. And Peter, in fact, will even deny three times knowing Jesus. So while they say they've left everything to follow Jesus, they really haven't yet. One of the most fundamental elements of Benedictine monasticism, here I am telling a bunch of Benedictines about what it is to be a Benedictine, but one of the most fundamental elements of the Benedictine life has always been the vows of stability, conversatio morum, and obedience. Stability means that you are attached to this monastery and you do not leave this monastery without your superior's permission. You serve and live outside this monastery only when assigned to do so by your prioress. Conversatio morum refers to your ongoing conversion of life, to the fidelity of the monastic way of life, which automatically includes the evangelical counsels of poverty and chastity. And then there's obedience, which is sometimes the most difficult of the vows that you make, because it requires that you die to yourself. Obedience is more than just mere compliance with what you're told to do. It means listening and responding to God and to those whom God has placed over you with your whole heart, with your whole mind, and your whole soul. And that's not just compliance. That requires death to self, requires humility. If you've got a bad attitude, you're being disobedient. You haven't yet died to yourself, even if you do everything the superior tells you to do, griping all the way. If you talk behind your superior's back and try to undermine her authority, you're being disobedient because you haven't responded to her with a loving heart. And that, you know, St. Benedict says that's got no place in Benedictine life. So here I'm talking to a bunch of Benedictines about what Benedict says. Okay. But he says, the first step of humility is unhesitating obedience, which comes naturally to those who cherish Christ above all. Okay. Monastic tradition extols the renunciation of our own will as a fundamental ascetic practice. It requires death to self, and it is modeled on Jesus Christ. Chapter 4 of the rule says that we should see heeding the voice of our superior as heeding the voice of God. Okay? And that's the idea there. Okay? You experience the Lord's rule in your life through the community, expressed through your superior. In fact, the superior holds the place of Christ in the monastery. And then you vote in another one. And so after a while, you've got several people that have been Christ, the voice of Christ in your monastery. These vows of stability and conversatio morum, and especially obedience, are an effective antidote to the poisonous influence of the false gods of this world, the false gods that our apostles in the scripture reading have not yet gotten cured of. Okay? The pursuit of power, possessions, pleasure, and prestige, which can occur even in a monastery, against which Saint Benedict fought from the beginning, and which he sought to escape by withdrawing from the world, first to Subiaco about 1,500 years ago, where he was joined by a few others, and later, in a big way, at Monte Cassino, from which Benedictine monasticism spread throughout Europe and then throughout the world, eventually reaching Fort Smith, Arkansas. What, about 100 years ago? How many years ago was it? 132 years ago. Okay. None of you are around here then, I don't think. But. And of course, escaping from the world into a monastery doesn't free us from having to continue that struggle against sin. Same temptations follow us here. And also, an antidote only works if you take it. Your vows of stability and conversatio morum and obedience work only if you really live them. Today we're gathered to celebrate our jubilarians. And I read their names just a minute ago, but I'll do it again. Sister Amana Sieben Morgan, Columba Mosley, Christine Eckhart, Cabrini Schmitz, Rosemaria Birkenfeld, Gabriel Brandt, Jeremy Mollett, and Francis Ann Braddock, who this year mark 75, 75, 70, 60, 60, 50, 50, and 25 years, respectively, serving the Lord in this monastic community. Like I said, 465 years. We thank the Lord for the gift that you sisters have been for us and for Catholics throughout Arkansas and up at Columbia and other places, and for the gifts that the Lord has given each one of you over the course of your many years of service. I pray that your example will inspire all of those other sisters to imitate your good qualities, the good qualities of you jubilarians, that they may learn from you and thereby grow in continual conversion of life with all your heart, mind, and soul, praying and working, ora et labora, for the greater glory of God.